I don't even know what the date is.
All right. This is February 2nd and See God in Everything.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, let me give you a few updates. First of all, the update on my eyebrow here and the procedure that they did. If you'll notice, they took the stitches out on Friday. There, of course, was no infection. There was no nothing. And there'll probably be no scar. That's what I'm aiming for. No, you'll never be able to see that. So they were so impressed, you know, they were the ones who said, well, it's going to get infected, it's going to do this, and you're going to have this scar and this and the other thing. And I said, no, I don't get infections. Thank you very much. You may have them. And my skin heals very quickly, and I do not get scars. I don't have a scar on my body. Oh, they go, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they were so impressed, I said, could we take pictures of this incision? It's so well done. And it is healed so quickly. Could we take pictures of it? I said, certainly. So, why do I tell you these stories? You said you were in the healing field. You have this choice in life to tell your body what you want it to do. Your body doesn't have a mind of its own, people. The body has no causation of its own, has no mind of its own. The body must always follow the mind. So when you program that in there, that your body does not scar, then it listens to that and it does that. That's what all these little cells, you have between 50 and 70 trillion cells in your body. Each one of those little cells is alive with the life of God. So if you say to those cells, you are the ones that chose to be cells in the first place, to put this body of mine together, now here's the way I would like it to look. Here's the way I would like it to look. And your cells must do that for you. They have no mind of their own. They have no causation of their own. Only you have that. So we buy into these different things. Oh, you're going to get an infection. I didn't say to them, I could have been nasty. I try not to do that anymore in my life. Why am I going to get an infection? Because your place is filthy and all these germs are in this place. I didn't bring them in here. They must live here by themselves. But I was very glad. I just said, I do not get infections. And I didn't get an infection. And it's going to heal perfectly. So just remind yourself of that. That the world outside wants to tell you that you are a victim to everything. And that you are certainly a victim to your body. People will say, I don't know what my body's doing now. Well, I would suggest you find out what your body's doing. It's not doing all these things without your permission, you know. You're giving it permission. So when we say you become what you think about all day long, your health is, what do you think about your health? Are you planning on using your insurance policies, your health insurance policies? That seems to be the biggest criteria for people right now. You know, I often tell this story. I have clients who come to me. They just like their job so much. And they say to me, this job is absolutely killing me. I cannot stand it one more moment. This job is killing me. And I say to them, why do you stay with it? And they say, because of the health benefits. They're going to need them. They're going to need them. You see, everyone thinks it's all right. Oh, well, I can get sick. I don't have to pay for it. Why do you want to get sick in the first place? Why do you want to get sick in the first place? It's not necessary. You don't think that this thing that we call God, this thing that we say is so intelligent and so forth, wants sickness? You see, what I always say when anything happens to me, if I think I'm coming down with something, I say, can I imagine God being sick? Can anyone here imagine God being sick? I'm not coming in today. I'm sick. I'm staying home. Can you imagine God saying that? Then why do you say that? You say, we're one with God. If God doesn't get sick, therefore you do not get sick. We get sick because we hear it all the time. You know, turn on that wonderful television set and it will tell you that you're falling apart. Morning, noon, and night, it will tell you that you need something. Your plumbing's not right. I just love that when they call the human body has plumbing in it. You see. And then they show you this thing with pipes running through this, that, and the other thing. An impossibility, people. You know, you cannot reduce this wonderful thing we call our bodies to basic plumbing. It just isn't so. And this is why we run into so many troubles when we go to a doctor. Because the doctor is looking at you as parts that can be replaced. I don't want any of my parts being replaced. Remember a couple of years ago they wanted me to rip out my gallbladder. Oh, we can take that out. I said, you can, but you're not going to. You know, just because you can do it does not mean that I'm having it done. So I never had that done either. But just remember that the body has no causation of its own. It's your mind that has causation. So if you see yourself always filled with health, filled with life, filled with vitality, that is what you will get. You see, you're always talking to what? Yourself. So don't believe it that your body has causation. As I say to people, if your body thought for itself and your body had causation of its own, your legs would get up and walk away from you. They don't do that, do they? You're the one that causes them to walk. You see. So think of those things. Just food for thought always. Just food for thought. Then, I was in a Chinese restaurant. And my little fortune is this. This is a prosperous time of life for you. This is a wonderful affirmation for everybody. This teaching is the teaching of mind, the teaching of consciousness. We live, move, and have our being in consciousness or in the mind of God. But within that mind of God, there is also what we call race mind. And at the present moment, race mind is very convincing. And it's telling us that our economy is going to hell in a handbasket. You cannot buy into that. Now, I'm not saying that you go out and spend all your money. I think that this is a time in the situation that we're in this thought atmosphere that we're in, is this is a time to be thankful. Know that you are prosperous, that there is nothing but prosperity and abundance out there, and it's time for us to become creative. It's time for us to become creative. Things are changing. People are going to lose their jobs. Things are going to happen. But you have a mind. And what do you have in your mind, Andy?
Imagination.
You have your imagination. This is the time to become creative. How can I make more money? How can I spend less money? Be creative about these things, you see. And it will all come back around. But don't buy into what's going on out there. Because every time we buy into that, we're sinking it. The economy is sinking. We must start seeing our economy rising. We must start seeing ourselves as prosperous. We must not get into that situation. Because if we go into what they call a depression, what does that mean? That means the thought atmosphere is depressed. And if you're living in a thought atmosphere that's depressed, you become depressed. You become depressed. There's no other way that can be done. So don't do that to yourselves. Know that you're going to be fine. Know that God is the source and the supply of everything. God is the source and the supply. So if you think it's your job, give that idea up. You see. If you're always concentrating on your job and this is the source of your income, you have cut off any other channels because you're saying this is the only source. And if you say this is the only source, then it becomes the only source. But when you say God is the source and the supply, and at the present moment that supply is coming through this job, which is one channel, but I am more than willing to open up to different channels, to more channels, to bigger channels, to better channels, and watch it flow to you. Watch it flow to you. But don't buy in to what the world is telling you. Do not do that to yourselves. But this is a time in life to say, geez, I'm excited. I'm thrilled with this. I'm glad this is happening because now I can use my imagination. I can use my creativity. And I can bring money to me. I can bring prosperity and abundance to me by being creative and seeing things differently. See, it's time for us to stop doing the same old thing. We do the same old thing, and we get the same old thing. And what is going on with the economy right now? And they're trying to pump it back up. That is not going to work. I don't care how much money they pump into it. You're saying the economy doesn't work that way. We live, move, and have our being in consciousness. When the consciousness changes, the economy will change. So you have to change your consciousness now and know that you live in an abundant and a prosperous universe. And that whatever's going on right now, it's not going to affect you. It's not going to affect you. You're going to be creative about the whole thing. And you're going to get through this elegantly. I'm not see all these disaster stories in your mind. Do I remember I told you the story about the lady? And I thought, oh my goodness. with that Madoff character. She was a self-made millionaire and she invested all her money with Madoff because she lost it all. But she said before she invested the money with Madoff, she went to a therapist, psychiatrist, because she was very frightened that she would become a bag lady. Now she's lost all her money and she's on her way to becoming a bag lady. What you think about, you bring about. What you think about, you bring about. She was not able to hold on to that money because of her fear that she would become a bag lady. So if there's anyone here who has that fear, give that fear up. Give that fear up. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to you. That's what you have to know. That's why this teaching at this time comes in so handy. This is the time that you have to apply all these principles. When it looks bad on the outside of life, you better go within and find your strength. Because it's always going to be working from the inside to the outside. And if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I have money right now, but I could become a bag lady, cross that out of your memory. Get that out of your mind. Know that money is always freely circulating in your life and that you always have a divine surplus. That this thing you cannot say, and this month we're doing, see God everywhere, or as Casey put it, see infinite goodness everywhere. See, if you saw God and you saw infinite goodness everywhere, you wouldn't be frightened with all that stuff that's going on out there. You just know that does not affect you. It does not affect you. Now people say, oh, but the prices of things are so high. Don't buy them. Did anyone twist your arm and tell you you had to buy it? When things get high, I don't buy them. I switch to something else. That's being creative. That's being creative. You see? You have to be creative. You have to be flexible at a time like this. And that's where this teaching comes in. During the month of January, remember, the whole idea was God makes all things new. And how does God do that? Through your mind. But you're the one who has to change your mind for God to be able to work through it. God doesn't change minds. You change your mind. You see, what we're always trying to do is get God to change its mind. God will never change its mind. You have to change your mind. The same way you change your mind about yourself, you have to change your mind about God. So, here again, if God is not working for you, if your God is not working for you, it means you have a small God. And you must kick that small God out and get a bigger, better God. That is the way it's done. God doesn't care, by the way. God's far and above that. Okay. With that said, would you turn to Rhoda and say, I am divine. And I am divine. Very important to realize. Very important. You have to keep saying that to yourself till it absolutely sinks in that you're one with this thing called God. That sometimes is easy for people. Now you must take it to the next step and realize that you are God. All that you are is God, but you are not all that God is. You have to know that. During this time, if you knew that you were God and really knew that you were God, would you be fearful of anything? Could you be fearful of anything? No. So when you hear that fear coming in, just sit yourself down and say, hey, wait a minute, bucko. This is not the truth. The truth is, I am defined. I have a power within me that can take care of anything on the outside of life. And it can certainly take care of this money situation. And then let that go. Let that go. Now that does not mean you sit down. That means you let that go and then you keep yourself alert to the money that's coming to you, to the channels that's coming to you, to a new job that may be available. You have to start looking for things out there. You have to start looking for things. You know, people say to me, oh, yes, Dallas, but God feeds the birds. That's absolutely true. God provides for everything, but God does not drop a worm in the bird's mouth. The bird must go out and look for that worm. Prosperity and abundance is everywhere, but you have to go look for it. Then you have to recognize it and see it. That is why this month we're going to do see God everywhere or see infinite goodness everywhere. See this thing that we call divine, this thing we call God. Now, here again, you can call God Harry, Charlie. God does not care. We give it that name, God. Whatever is comfortable with you. You see. But know that you have a power that you can rely on and that you can trust. And that will work for you. So it always starts on the inside of life and works its way outward. So during this time also, because of all the difficulties that people seem to be going through, this is when you must sit down and say, I am worthy, I am deserving, I am totally lovable, and I matter. Very important now, because this is going to fade from your memory, you see. It's very nebulous, very delicate. And you have to remind yourself because you get caught up in the world out there. And when you get caught up with the world telling you how bad things are and what's going on here and what's going on there, start to believe all that. And you forget that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay. Okay, I pass out a paper. It's by Albert Einstein, and the people that know me know that I love Albert Einstein, and one of the sayings that I love best about Albert is, imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination is more important than knowledge. In this teaching, we are always using our mind, and we are using our imagination. So learn to use your imagination. See what you want. Have a vision of what you want. And let that come into your life as your reality. So let's read this one. A human being is part of the whole, called by us a universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences his self, his thoughts, and feelings as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical illusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from the prison by widening our circle of compassion, to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. That is the idea of seeing God everywhere and in everything, or divine intelligence, divine goodness in everything, but especially in yourself. In yourself. If you're not seeing good out there, it's because you don't believe there's good inside of you. You see, it's always going to start with you. We cannot get around that. We want to get around that. We want to put the blame someplace else. We want to think somebody else is causing something. It's always going to be you. And it's always going to be your thinking that is doing it all. And yes, we can get upset about that. Sometimes I'll say, oh, I couldn't have done that. But I have to say, yes, I did do that. And then change my thinking about the whole thing. Albert Einstein, in his career, was looking for what was called the unified theory. The unified theory is the idea that all equations will come together, that all the different powers, the weak force, the strong force, gravity and electromagnetism, I believe. They were nothing. You could put them all together in a unifying equation. And we're still looking for that. That's the whole idea, that God is in and as and through everything. And we are unified. And Albert Einstein went on to say it's probably for something very simple. And it's so simple that we're overlooking it. And this is what we do with ourselves, because we get stuffed full of ourselves. You see, remember, it was Emerson who said, get your bloated nothingness out of the way. As soon as we can get ourselves out of the way, then God can come in and do something. But we have this thing called an intellect. You see, and we think our intelligence is so great that we know everything. Last week I told you that you must remember we only know 1% of anything. I don't care if it's physics, if it's medicine, whatever it is, we only know 1%. We only know 1%. And we think, oh, because I know 1%, I know everything, you're saying. So when you know that you only know 1%, you can let yourself out of that prison. If you think 1% is the 100%, how are you ever going to find the answer to anything? Because you put yourself in a box the same way he just said here. The same. We're always putting ourselves in the box. We're always, I can love this one, but I can't love that one. I love my own children, but I hate the neighbor's kids. You know, we have to learn to love everybody. We have to learn to love everything and see everything as God. But first of all, we have to see ourselves as God, knowing that we can do healings, we can perform miracles, we can change this economy by changing our minds. By changing our minds. It's just one great big game going on out there. You just have to figure out how you want to play it. But you cannot take any of this stuff personally, and you cannot think that this is real. It may feel real, but that's the illusion. You see, the illusion is that that's a table. The reality is it's God. But we're convinced that's a table, because we all see that table. But we made that table up. See, if you say there is nothing but God, and God is all there is, then how can that table not be God? You see the little trick that the mind does? It throws up all these illusions to you all the time. And you say, oh, well. But you have to say, oh, that's God too. That's God in disguise. You see? And then look for the God in everything. But look for the God in you. Look for that God in you. I don't know why people are so afraid to find God inside of them. And that's where God is. You remember the old thing about the gods years ago? Were very angry with humans and they wanted to disappear and hide. And one said, well, we could go to the bottom of the ocean. So, oh, no, humans will find us there. Well, we could go to the highest mountain. Oh, no, humans will find us there. Well, we could go here. No, humans will find us there. Finally, one of them said, oh, I've got a wonderful idea. Let's hide inside of them. They'll never look there. They'll never look. And very seldom do we look within. Very seldom do we look within. We're looking outside all the time for some solution to something. The solution to anything is inside of you. The answer to anything is inside of you. There's nothing on the outside of life but an illusion. Granted, a very convincing one, but it is an illusion. So, if you've been listening to the tape, you will hear on that tape that this thing called God is in each and every one of us. And that we are here on this plane of action to discover that. To discover that we are connected to God. That all we are is God. But we are not all that God is. Can you see how that would help your life immensely if you knew that right away? You see, you wouldn't be worried about all the things that you're worried about. You wouldn't be worried about a job. You wouldn't be worried about a career when you went on audition. You would go on the audition to have fun, to be filled with joy, and to know that you're being taken care of. But you go to these things with fear and fright because you say, oh, I need the money. I have to have this job to pay the bills. I have to do this to do that. I have to do that. Da, 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 da. Well, you just take all the fun out of it, don't you? You just take all the fun right out of your life. You have to be filled with joy. You have to be filled with happiness. These are the things that count. When you are no longer in this plane of action, what are you going to do? Look back and regret that you didn't have enough fun? That you didn't laugh enough? That you didn't love enough? These are the things that count. You cannot take it with you. You cannot take anything but your consciousness from this plane of action. So all the wealth, all the money, and all the striving and the careers and all the stuff that you go after, you cannot take it with you. But you can take your love, your happiness, and your joy with you. So I would suggest that you start to live from a different value system. How much joy can I have today? How much joy can I make today? Instead of how much money can I make today? How much love can I do today? You see the difference? This is a time to be creative, to change. We have been doing these things, the world, for centuries. Simply because we've been doing them for centuries. See, we don't have to have an economy. Who said that? We don't have to have an economy. But we think that's very important. And we certainly think that money is very important. What if we went back to the barter system? What if everyone just worked on, oh, I'll give this to you. Here, take this, take that. Western minds are very funny. The American Indians lived here for centuries. They never moved anything, by the way. They never moved anything. We've been on this continent 300 years and we've moved mountains, we've moved this, we've moved rivers, we've moved everything. They didn't build buildings, go to work 8 to 5 or 9 to whatever. They enjoyed, they looked, they were part of nature. They saw the beauty. Now, don't you think that would be a better way to be on this plane of action? How many people look at the sunsets and the sunrises? How many people saw the beautiful sliver of a moon the other night? It was just wonderful. These are the things that are exciting. You're saying, and that's looking at a sunrise, a sunset, a moon. Looking at a beautiful mountain, and we have gorgeous mountains. When the snow was on them, I thought it was just captivating. All that is free. I didn't spend a penny. And I got all that beauty. See? And we think, oh, now I have to spend money to get beauty. I have to spend money to get joy. I have to spend money. You see? We're so hooked into Madison Avenue. We're so hooked into Madison Avenue that we're not enjoying our lives. We have to have the newest toy, the best toy. I understand in the next 10 years that electronics will not double, you know, whatever that's called, 1,000 times. What would that be called? They'll multiply. They'll multiply 1,000 times. That we'll have that many new things to buy. Now, do we need all that? Is it necessary? You say you can have all the toys in the world, but if you don't know you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, you matter, what good does it do you? How long can you keep yourself asleep? How long can you keep yourself numb before a computer or a television set, thinking that is life? This is what life is. So this is a wonderful opportunity for us to see who we really are, to get our values straight, and to realize that we do not have to slip in to this depression, that we can have money freely circulating in our lives. And my question has always been, how much money do people really need? You know, if you have, like Oprah, $1 billion, how much more does she need? There's no way she can spend that. Does anyone know what the simple interest is on $1 billion? $53 million a year. Yes. So once you, that's why they say it. The first million is the hardest to make. The second million is easy, because the first million helps you make it. If you have $1 billion and you're raking in $53 million every year just from that, you're not spending that. So that's why money makes money. That's simple. But in this time, give yourselves a new way to look at yourself and look at life. And try to find joy and happiness and love. Try to get excited about this whole experience called life. Or this whole experience right now. You know, everyone's so dreadful. This is going to fall apart, that's going to fall apart. I would love to see it all fall apart myself. You know, then we would have to really change. The whole system would have to change somehow. But the main thing is to remember what Franklin Delano Roosevelt, what did he say? We have nothing to fear but fear itself. It's the fear that is drawing everything to us. So get fear out of your consciousness. You see, you can't have love and fear, you can't have God and fear working at the same time. That's called a house divided against itself. So you have to make a stand. Either you're going to believe in God or you're going to believe in fear. Remember, life is a choice. Life is always going to be a choice. Do you want to look at the garbage over here? Or do you want to look at the beautiful garden over there? It's our choice always. Do I want to feel rich? Or do I want to feel poor? Feeling rich is a little bit better, you see. And that doesn't mean that you have to have $1 billion to do it. But you have to start, if you want to feel wealthy, you have to start feeling wealthy. You cannot wait till the money comes and then say, now I feel wealthy. You have to feel wealthy now and the money will come. Same way with anything else. If you want to feel healthy, you start feeling healthy now. Regardless of what's going on. So regardless if you only have $1 in your pocket at the present moment, you have to sit there and say, I am a rich person. I feel absolutely wealthy. But you say, oh, I only have $1 and I'm feeling a little poor. That's a wonderful affirmation. Your mind goes immediately to work on that. So we go right back to the idea that the body has no causation of its own. If I would have sat around and said, oh yes, I'm going to have this horrible scar on my face here, I would have had a horrible scar on my face. So when you have this attitude that you are wealthy, that you are successful, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's the attitude. It's the feeling that counts. Remember, feelings are the life of the organism. Emmett Fox from Mental Equivalent. It's thought plus a warmth of feeling, which brings a demonstration. How are you feeling? But always, how are you feeling about yourself? Do you love yourself? Do you truly love yourself? Do you see how magnificent you are? Or do you say, well, I need a little help here, I need a little help there, you know. Don't do that to yourself. Love yourself just the way you are. And don't look out there at the world and so, you know, I don't look like Angelina Jolie or somebody, you know. Do you want to look like her? I don't. You know. Everyone is beautiful. It's the world and this race mind that keeps qualifying it. Oh, you must be this tall, you must be that, you must be this. If you can say, I am divine, and all that I am is God, and you have to be happy with yourself. Otherwise, can you see an ugly God? Do you think God's ugly? see, God's not ugly. Therefore, you cannot be ugly. And your mind may tell you that. Your mind may tell you that. I was at lunch on Sunday with a friend of mine. She was talking about my brother who she's met, and he was here at class. And she wanted to know about my sister-in-law there, and I said, how they met and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, well, you know, my brother was a very handsome young man. And she said, well, he still is. Now, as soon as that came out of my mouth, my mind said, does that mean I'm not? Does that mean I'm not? Then I have to correct that and say, you know. Now, I could have said to her, well, you think I'm, what, chopped liver? You know. But she wasn't saying that. But you see, you have to watch your mind all the time. You have to watch this mind all the time. It's always going to be. That's what we call being alert. That's what we call being aware. And that's what we call becoming enlightened. Is to see all those things that your mind is telling you all the time. So you have to make a choice to think the thought that you want to think. So that your mind tells you that you're whole and complete and perfect, that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and that you're one with this thing called God. And you have to keep doing that till it automatically does that for you. Till it automatically does that for you. But we keep thinking we're our mind, which is not true. Okay, let me do some cards. Oh, I love this one. With the universal mantra of the television, one person can be totally distracted by non-people's non-problems. Non-people's non-problems. We sit around and watch a television set. Those people are non-people, and they're non-problems. And we get caught up in that. We get caught up watching television, thinking that all that stuff is real. And they have these so-called reality shows. Oh, how could they? Observing your small responses can lead to great understanding. So watch them. Observing your small responses. The response in my mind. Oh, does that mean I'm ugly? My brother is good looking. I'm ugly. You have to hear that and correct that right away. You see? Observing small responses can lead to great understanding. So watch them. Your relationships come to a particular point over which you keep grinding out the same old message. Who is going to be right? Who is going to be right? Your relationships come to a particular point over which you keep grinding out the same message. Who is going to be right? An example. Who left the dog out? It's late at night. You're both in bed. The dog's out. Who left the dog out? You did. You get up and do it. I'm right. See, it's always the little things that are going to get you. Most marriages break up because of the toothpaste. So all the other stuff doesn't count. It starts with that. What are the two choices in life? Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Those are always the choices that you're going to have. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And for years we picked right. It was so important to be right. It's not important to be right. Who cares? Who cares? I could care less about being right anymore. Doesn't bother me in the least. I want to be happy. I want to be filled with joy. This month I turned 66. and I think I'm going to live a good 30 more years. So in those next 30 years, I'm going to be filled with happiness and joy. That's my goal. That's my choice, to be filled with happiness and joy. And not all this other hoorah that doesn't mean a damn thing. Begin by viewing your mind as a motor, constantly running on and on about an endless number of things. It's just a motor. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Your mind is yours to use, just like your computer, just like your automobile. Learn to use it. Learn to use it. There is often no one in control of your thoughts, certainly not you. The repetitive patterns of your past have been set through trial and error, and the past grinds out your thoughts day after day. You see, that goes back to last month. God makes all things new by the renewing of your mind, by changing your mind, by thinking differently. Here again, let's bring up Albert Einstein. What did Albert Einstein say? He said, you cannot solve a problem with the same mind that caused the problem. And that's what we're always trying to do. You must change your mind. Grow. Expand your consciousness into something else. There is often no one in control of your thoughts. Certainly not you. The repetitive patterns of your past have been set through trial and error, and the past grinds out your thoughts day after day. And how many people come to me and say, this is my pattern. I've done it again. Here it is again. Same old, same old. Well, yes, it's going to be the same old if you don't change your mind about it. Don't let the past bother you. Remember in the Bible it says, let the dead bury the dead. That means let that day go. You can't do anything about yesterday. You can't do anything about tomorrow. The only thing you can do about anything is the present moment. So how are you feeling about yourself right now? Do you know that you're rich? Do you know that you're healthy? Do you know that there's prosperous and abundance everywhere, prosperity and abundance everywhere? Do you know these things in this moment? Can you keep your mind in this moment? Or have you just raced home to discover if you have something for tomorrow? To wear, to eat? If you cannot stay in this seat, in this room, you have no control over your mind. If your mind wants to go someplace, you have to call it back. You have to call it back. You say, always, before you start anything, make sure your mind is with you. Always bring your mind into your body. Bring your mind into your body. If you're worried about tomorrow or what you did this morning, you're not in this room. You're somewhere else. The ego is to be congratulated for its ability to provide such a diversification of distractions. They are endless and will continue in ever-increasing volume and frequency unless you begin to mute the voices. Unless you begin to mute the voices. We all have voices in our head talking all the time. Where the hell they come from, I don't know. Some of them I recognize. You know, the one hit the deck, I know that has to be my father because he was in the Navy. Every once in a while you hear your mother. How many women say, oh, I'm becoming my mother because they say something exactly like their mother. You see? It's because we don't change. We just pick that stuff up. And we just let it go from day to day to day. How many people, I used to have a friend I stopped calling. Couldn't stand it. How are you? Oh, same old, same old. Well, that was the end of that conversation. Same old. Do you want your life to be the same old, same old? Don't you want every day to be different? Well, every day can be different if you change your mind. If you think differently. If you get up in the morning and start to think differently about yourself. This is who I am. I'm wealthy. I'm healthy. I'm worthy. I'm deserving. I'm totally lovable and I matter. And this is going to be a wonderful day. And I'm going to see wonderful things today. And I'm going to look for God in everything and in everyone. I'm going to look for infinite goodness in everything and everyone. And I'm going to make my life wonderful. And it is wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.